If you have your Bibles, let's go to the Word of the Lord tonight. I wonder if you'd stand with me. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise the Lord. Immediately after church service tonight, there will be a meeting for all of our young people and parents. Where will that meeting be, Brother Sean? Okay, that'll be over in the event center, and that's regarding youth convention. So right after church, over in the event center, a meeting about youth convention. All our youth and parents need to attend that, and that's going to be a great event. That's next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 51 again, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Changed. That's what I'm ministering about here tonight. It's just one simple word, but what a profound impact when it happens in our life. Somebody say, changed. Change. Let's pray that God would minister in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to grow from your word, Lord. I pray that your spirit would work and move in us, make us what you want us to be. Lord, let your blessing be upon this church. I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we want to be the church you've called us to be. We want to be the people that you have led us to be, Lord. Help us here tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Please be seated tonight. If there is one thing that is certain in life, it is the fact that change will happen. We certainly live in a changing world. Is there anything else in life that's as sure as change? We don't always know what changes will happen or when they will take place, but we can be sure that change will come. Places change. If you were to take a little drive through the neighborhood where our family lived when I was a teenager, I could point out all kinds of changes that have happened over the years. The empty lots where the neighborhood kids, we used to gather and ride our bikes and play, now they're filled with houses and new families who have moved into the neighborhood. The woods close to our house where I used to hunt and play, now a lot of them have been cleared and developed. The once familiar faces from the neighborhood have now been replaced with people I don't recognize. The roads have been adjusted now for traffic, and they're different. You got to pay attention because you can't just go the way you used to go because things have changed. Everything has changed. Places change, and so do people. How interesting to look back through high school yearbooks to see some of those who were voted as most likely to succeed, but they never really went anywhere in life. And some of those who were just, they were just absolute nerds in high school, but now they're banking it because they made it big. The most popular, the most beautiful, the most athletic, a lot of that changes over the years. Some of those I was friends with back then, they have nothing in common with me now. They've changed, but then again, so have I. Give it time. People will go through change. The world changes. It wasn't long ago that we traveled by horse and buggy. But today we can fly just about anywhere in the world in a day. Our mail was once carried by the Pony Express. But today FedEx and UPS send packages all around the world by airmail. And the Postal Service has almost been run out of business by digital mail, email. It used to be that it would take months or even years for news to get to us. But today we are constantly connected with what's happening from all around the world through numerous forms of media. A few generations ago, doctors would, they'd really have to just kind of guess what was going on inside someone's body. But today there's all kinds of imaging and scans and tests to find out what the problem is without ever breaking the skin. Technology has changed. Most of us have some type of smartphone. They say they're smart, you know, I don't know. But besides just being our phone, for most of us, it may be the only phone we have. We don't have landlines, and those sitting up here don't even know what a landline is. Do you remember that? They had a cord, and you were connected to the wires of the telephone service, and you couldn't go too far without that cord stopping you. And then sometimes you'd get a big, long cord and get all tangled up, and you remember all that? But now, most of us, this is the only phone we've got. But besides just being a phone, it's our calendar, our reminders, our maps, our music, our email, our text messages, our Bible perhaps, along with, there's an app for just about anything else you want to do. The processors used in smartphones today, they're so much more advanced than those used even in the most expensive computers even just a few years ago. Technology has accelerated change in our world. Now, with AI, there's even more demand for increased computing power. And that's going to advance things even further. Isn't it something to think that I can tell ChatGPT, give me a 1,500 sermon on 1,500 words. Okay. Give me a 1,500 word sermon on faith. And here we go. It's got scripture text, an introduction. It's got 7 points, scriptures to back it up. It's got a conclusion. It's got a closing prayer, just like that. Now, I don't know who wrote that, and I'm probably not going to use it, but technology has exponentially just, it's exploded. Yes, the world is full of changes. Things change, people change, places change. All around us, there's change. Some change is happening. Some of them happen so fast that we can't keep track of them. Some change for the better. Some are for the worse. But it's not these natural changes that we're looking at here tonight. I want to look at some spiritual changes that need to happen in our life. First of all, there is the change that only comes by the new birth experience. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 declares, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When people get around Jesus Christ, when they got around him, he changed their life. He touched them. He changed them. The blind received their sight. The lame and crippled were able to walk again. The demon-possessed, they found freedom. You look at the life of Zacchaeus and Mary Magdalene and the woman at the well. When they came in contact with Jesus, everything changed. Even the Apostle Paul, his life was headed in a very clear direction that he was going in. But when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, you won't find a more drastic turnaround. From persecuting and killing Christians to now he was able to give his life for the gospel. That's the kind of change that happens when people meet the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he's still doing it today. He's changing more lives today than even when he was here on this earth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man, anyone, it doesn't matter what class, what race, what language, doesn't matter how much is in their bank account, anyone, anyone can be a new creation in Jesus Christ. It's not just that we've been forgiven, but he just takes us and makes us new. He changes us into a new creation. It's not something we can do by ourselves. We can't just, you know, just kind of get our act together, and we can't have this kind of change by turning over a new leaf. But it's a great miracle that God does. Greater even than the miracle of God creating this world and creating us and giving us life, a greater miracle is when he helps us be born again. In the beginning, there was nothing to stand in God's way. But today, he has to work with stubbornness, our love of sin, our flesh that's opposed to him, our prejudices. Yes, how great it was to make the world in the beginning, but oh, it's even a greater thing to create a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you are thankful that one day the Lord found you, the one day he picked you up from where you were, and he said, I'm not content to leave you like this anymore, but I'm going to change you. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to bring you out of where you are, and I'm going to bless you. You don't even have a clue of the things I'm going to do in your life and the blessings that I'm going to pour out on you. I'm thankful I'm a new creature today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some of you, I guess it's been too long since you were born again. Some of you, you can't hardly remember your life before Jesus. But some of you still know. Oh, when I think about the Lord and all that he's brought me from, I've got to give him praise. I've got to give him glory. I've got to clap my hands. I've got to lift my hands to him because I'm a new creature. Oh, come on, is anybody thankful for the power, the transformational power of Jesus Christ? Every person he touched, he transformed them. Praise the Lord. Some years ago, the modern church growth movement started talking about how churches needed to be seeker-friendly. In other words, they said, well, we've got to make it as comfortable as we can so that people, they like to come to church. And you know, there's some of that that we try to do. You know, I want people to like to come to our church, but I don't want people to get so comfortable coming to the house of God that no change happens in them. Oh, we want everyone to feel comfortable to come and just come as they are. What they really mean is they want people to feel so comfortable coming to church that they come as they are and they stay as they are. If that's someone's reason for choosing a church, they're saying, well, just let me stay as I am. I don't want to have to give up the things of the world. I don't want to have to change the way that I dress, the things that I do, the places I go. I can still have the love of God without changing anything. That's not a church that matches up with what the Bible says. You know, I really can't I just can't stand hearing about these charismatic churches. And oh, they're just like us. They have the Holy Ghost and they have worship and prayer. They just don't have the holiness standards. Have you ever heard that? Then they aren't just like us. Then they aren't just like us. God called his church to come out of the world and be separate. Without that separation, there's a missing power that's there. There's a missing glory of God that is not there. I don't care how hip the pastor is or how cool his clothes or haircut might be. If he's not preaching that you need to come out of the world and be separate, if he's not preaching that you got to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you, that's not a good pastor. That's not a good pastor. He's leading the crowd astray. Hallelujah. Some of them are ignorant. They don't even know. But some of them have counted the cost. And they've looked at the Word of God. And they figured it's just easier to preach to a crowd if you don't have to tell anybody what they don't want to hear. It's not easy to preach truth to people that don't want to change. The Bible talks about those kind of preachers. They're hirelings, the Bible says. They're just in it for the money, and they want everybody to feel warm and gooey so that they'll fill up their church and help pay the budget. But I want a pastor that's going to tell me what I need to do to get to heaven. Tell me the changes I need to make in my life so that I'm able to make it. Come on, that's the kind of pastor I'm looking for. I want to tell you today, I don't want to be a pastor that says, oh, I just want to be comfortable for people to come and let's just get a big crowd and get a lot of money flowing in. No, I'd rather people come that are saved. They're called out of this world. Come on, I believe today that God's calling this church somewhere, but there's got to be a change that happens in us. We've got to be transformed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Here's what I believe. Come as you are, but God forbid we stay as we are. There needs to be a change in us. We all need to become more like Jesus Christ. We all need to change. We all have room to grow. Come on, God's still working on me. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with you. Lord, I've got to be more like you. Work in my heart. Change me, Lord. Make me more like you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If nothing has passed away from our old life, if we've not become new, then we need God to change us, to transform us, to make us new. John 3:5 says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We've got to be born of water in baptism. The name of Jesus Christ, just like the Bible says, and we've got to be born of the Spirit by being filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you will search the Bible over, every place where they were filled with the Spirit in the Bible, they knew it because they spoke with tongues. That was the evidence. If you've not had the new birth experience tonight, I want to tell you, you need it. You need it. You need to come to this altar tonight, and you need to ask somebody to pray with you, and you need to say, I want to become a new creature. I want to be born again just like the Bible says. Every once in a while, I listen to radio preachers. Anybody ever listen to radio preachers? And I know you always listen to me, sometimes you might not be able to find me, so you listen to this one or that one. And I listened to one today, actually, and oh, it was a good message. It made me feel great about myself, and I thought, man, I can do anything. Man, this is awesome. Got to the end of his message. He said this little saying. You could tell he practiced it and rehearsed it to get it as short as he could to fit it in the programming time, And basically, he said, if you want to make a start for Jesus today, then just repeat after me. Lord, I repent of my sins. and I want you to come into my heart. And then he said, now if you said that, we believe you've been born again. Where in the Bible did they get that? The sinner's prayer is not even in the Bible. I don't even understand how far we've come. And you've been born again and your life is completely changed. No, it's not. Maybe they started. They repented. That's a start. Did they really repent? I don't know. Sometimes it takes a little soul searching to be like, God, there's some things in me that, Lord, I've been bound by this, and I'm sorry, Lord, and I don't want to live this way anymore. And it takes a little time to move through repentance. But hey, that's just the first step. There's more change that needs to happen. Amen. We need to go down in water in the precious saving name of Jesus Christ, having our sins washed away for us. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth, and if you're not baptized, you're not going to be saved. Hallelujah. And if we're really going to be changed, we've got to have the transformational power of the Spirit of God working inside of us. Amen. If we do not have the Spirit of God, the Bible says we are not His. The only way that they knew that they had been filled with the Holy Ghost was they spoke with tongues. That was the evidence of it. You can read account after account. When they went to Cornelius' house, how did they know they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost? They had spoke with tongues. If you've not had that precious experience, I want to tell you it is a gift from God, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord starts working on us from the inside out, and He changes us completely, and we become a new creature. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest joys of a pastor is to see lost people saved and see them born again, forgiven, their sins washed away. There's nothing like it. People being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It ought to bring joy to every person to see that happen. And if you've not ever seen somebody else receive the gift of the Holy Ghost that you were praying with and that you were encouraging, I want to tell you, it's awesome. The second greatest joy of a pastor is to see people growing spiritually. Growing spiritually. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So yes, we're saved by grace, but then we grow in grace. We grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As we learn more and more about Him, as our relationship develops with Him, we grow. We grow. I want to tell you, there has been such joy in my life over the years to see brand new babies in the Lord that develop into active, useful, mature servants of God. It takes time. Sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes they fall. Sometimes they don't grow as fast as they wish, but over time, to see that progress, I want to tell you, you give this pastor great joy. You give this pastor great joy. I want to encourage you, keep on growing. Keep on growing. Keep on becoming more like Jesus. Don't you stop. Don't go backwards. Keep going forward. Because some Christians don't grow. Help us, Lord. Either there's no desire to, or maybe they just outright refuse. But either way, it's been so long since there's been change in their life. These don't bring joy to their pastor or really to the people around them. Thank God there's nobody like that here. Because they're a burden. They're always trying to pass the same old tests. And when they fail, they never learn the lesson, and so here they go again. It's a vicious cycle, never becoming what God wants them to be. David said in Psalm 122 and 1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, the student that attends class learns more than the student that skips all the time. And so do Christians. Christians who are faithful to the house of God. Christians that they show up every time there's a church service, every time there's a revival service. Amen. They grow more like Christ quicker than those that just let any old thing keep them out of the house of the Lord. How in the world can someone who has been born again, saved from the world, how can they go on for weeks without going to church? I don't understand that. I understand things happen, sickness and, you know, other things happen. But sometimes people could be in the house of the Lord, but they let any old thing keep them from the house of God. I want to tell you, if we want to be changed, if we want to be more and more like Jesus, then we've got to be faithful in our church attendance. Just make up your mind. Just make up your mind. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I'm not going to take a job if it's going to keep me out of church. I'll just believe God will give me a better job if I honor him with my church attendance. Come on. Our kids shouldn't have to wonder, are we going to church on Sunday or not? Are we going to church on Wednesday night? Come on, our kids should just know every time there's church, every time there's a prayer meeting, anytime there's something going on, we're going to church because I've got to be more like Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Psalm 119 and 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. A lot of people say, they'll say, you know, I just don't know much about the Bible. There's only one reason for this. They don't read it. They don't study it. I know nothing about being a dentist. If you have a cavity, don't come see me. I'll pray for it. But if you didn't brush your teeth and ate too much candy, you're probably going to have to go see a dentist, okay? I know nothing about being a dentist. Why is that? Because I have never studied it. If I was supposed to be a dentist, hopefully I would have spent some time studying how to be a dentist. And if we're supposed to be a Christian, then surely we've been studying how to be a Christian. How do we do that? We study the Word of God. We study the guidebook. This is our book, our textbook on how to be more like Jesus. People who never study the Bible, they don't know anything about it. But I tell you, the Bible, it's a deep book. The Bible, it is alive. It has wisdom for every situation we can ever find ourselves in. And if we will read this book, if we will study it, there's going to be some changes that happen in our life. We will grow spiritually. If it's been a while since you've grown spiritually and you're looking back over the last year and it just seems like you're stuck, I challenge you, get in the Word of God. Start reading several chapters a day and say, every day, I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to study God's Word. I'm going to put it in my heart. And you just watch, there will be change that starts to happen in you. Spiritual growth. And then there are changes that are made by prayer. Jesus, he took Peter and James and John up on the mountain to pray. Luke chapter 9, verse 29. It says, and he, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. The appearance of his face was altered. It was transformed. It was changed. His appearance became different. Even his clothing, it became dazzling white. One translation says his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. There was a change that happened in him. Prayer even changed Jesus. I want to tell you, I don't know a greater way to change than to say, I'm going to put the Lord first in my life and I'm going to spend time in prayer. We've all heard the saying, prayer changes things. Have you heard that? Prayer changes things. I want to tell you, prayer does change things, but the fact is, prayer changes people. Prayer changes people. Sometimes we get to thinking, oh, I'm going to go to prayer because I got some people I'm dealing with and I need them to be changed. And so I'm going to go pray so that God would change them. But a lot of times what happens is God just kind of directs that in the right direction and starts changing us. He starts working on us. He gives us a little more patience. He gives us wisdom. He helps us learn how to deal with troubled personalities. Amen. I want to tell you, there's nothing like prayer to change us because it makes us more like Jesus. And a lot of times we think, oh, I'm going to go to pray because I got to change God. It's how we think we're going to get God to do what we want or what we think we need. That's not really the purpose of prayer. Prayer is to change us so that we become more like him. Jesus started out praying. He said, let this cup pass from me. But prayer changed him. It changed him to where he ended up praying, not my will. Come on, has prayer changed us lately? Oh, somebody hear me here tonight. Has prayer changed us lately? Do we give God time to work on us in prayer? Do we spend a little time in prayer so that his spirit can work on us and start revealing some things about our heart and showing us the things that we need to change? Or do we just kind of come and we have this little 5-minute window and so, God, if you're going to hear me, you better hear me right now because this is all I'm going to pray today. And we just kind of repeat some prayers over and over and over again as long as it's convenient. Oh, is our heart poured out to God and available for whatever he wants to do in us? Oh, I tell you, if it hasn't been a change in us, we need to get to an altar of prayer. Prayer brings direction. Prayer brings peace to fear and anxiety. Prayer will bring conviction in our hearts. It'll make us want to clean up our lives. Prayer changes things, and prayer changes people. How many of you have ever been changed by the power of prayer? Oh, you got to praying and God started working and all of a sudden it wasn't just 5 minutes, but you just fell in love with the presence of the Lord and it just kept getting better and better and you thought, man, I wish I had longer to spend this time with Jesus. We're changed by the new birth. We're changed by spiritual growth. We're changed by prayer. If we've not been changed by these lately, I want to tell you, we're going to miss the greatest change of all of our life. And that's the change that happens when Jesus comes back for his church. We read it at the start today, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're all going to be changed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye. That's fast. We're going to be transformed. We shall all be changed. When is the Lord coming? Amen. I don't know when he's coming. You don't know. Even the angels don't. But Matthew 24, 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 42, it says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." When is he coming? We don't know. But on the great calendar of eternity, God has circled a certain day. And on that day, he's coming back for those who love him. What is going to happen when he comes? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." When Jesus comes back, the dead in Christ are going to rise up first. And then those Christians who are alive in the world, we will be caught up to meet them in the air. We shall be changed. What kind of change is this going to be? It'll be the kind of change that every one of us, every true Christian longs for. It'll be a change to be like the glorious likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." We don't know exactly what we're going to be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. How long will it take for that change to happen? The Bible says it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. That is the swiftest movement of the human body. The blink of an eye, the twinkling of an eye. Some of you are doing it right now. We shall be changed. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that day? Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Are we ready? Are we living for him? Have we been born again of the water and the Spirit? Are we growing in grace, becoming more and more like Jesus? Have we separated ourselves from this world? How is our relationship with the Lord? Do our prayers bring us to a place where he can change us? If so, then I want to tell you, this moment will be the greatest moment in all of our life. But if not, may God have mercy on our soul. We are living in a world full of change. Changes are happening around us all the time. But there is one who never changes. Oh, aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Hebrews 13:8 declares, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Praise the Lord. He never changes. His love never changes. He loved us when we were yet in sin, and he loves us today. His word never changes. It's forever settled in heaven. His gospel doesn't change. What the apostles had to do to be saved, it's the same thing we have to do today. He does not change. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same for a world that's constantly changing, but he stays the same, and he's reaching for us today. One more verse, Romans 12:2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world. We're not to copy the pattern of this world, but We're to be transformed. Transformed. What direction are we headed? Are we trying to copy this world? Are we trying to blend with the world? Are we trying to look like the world and act like the world? Be not conformed to this world. Don't copy the pattern of this world. God, help us. Change us. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God has not changed. He will not change. He's always the same. But we have to change. We have to be transformed. We've got to come out of this world and be separate. We've got to become like Him. I want to tell you today, the greatest change in our life. Oh God, He's wanting to move. He's wanting to work. He's wanting to make us more like Him. But we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to lay some things down and say, Lord, not my will, but I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I'll be who you want me to be. I'll live the life you've called me to live. Oh God, change me and make me more like you. Oh, come on, is there somebody here tonight? You want to be changed. You don't want to stay the same. You don't want to be who you've always been, but you want God to change you, to transform you. Would you make your way to this altar right now? Oh Lord, change us. Change us, Lord. God, transform us. I pray that you would work in our hearts right now, Lord. I pray that you would move in us. Lord, don't let me stay the same way that I've always been, but I pray that you would bring me out. I pray that you'd help me to grow, Lord. Help me to be more like you, Jesus. I pray that you would work a miracle in my life. Oh God, transform me.